It's awesome to be back at the Rock. I'm excited to be here. Like Matt said, me and my wife really stepped out in faith. Last year, actually, we stepped out into full-time itinerant ministry. Before that, I was a full-time pastor at Harvest Chapel. Some of you may have heard of that church, Harvest Chapel in Abbottstown, PA. I was one of the pastors there. And, so I was the youth pastor, and then I was the community life pastor, and then God called me out of the boat and said, step into what I've called you to, and that was to be a prophet to the nations. And so we've been doing that for full time now, actually, for a year. I've been preaching the gospel since I was 15, but full time itinerant since last year. Big leap, big step of faith. It's crazy. And, I'm not tooting my own horn. I actually went kicking and screaming, to be honest with you. You know, I probably fought with God 2 years until I really stepped into what I'm doing now. Amen. How many of you have ever fought with God, right? I wish I could be like, man, God spoke, March 23rd and April 1st, the last year I stepped out. No, it was like 2 years. God spoke, and I fought. But God was also preparing me, molding me, and maturing me, pruning me, purging me, all that good stuff to prepare me for what I stepped out into last year. So we have Wake Ministries, and our heart is really just to go into nations and wake the body of Christ up, right? We want to see, of course, sinners come to know Jesus, but we also want the church to know Jesus. Amen. And that, I hope, makes sense, and I'm not trying to be mean with that. But our heart is to train and equip leaders, you know, to be a prophet to a prophet, to be a leader to a leader, a preacher to a preacher, if you will. And my heart also, it's not just with my heart's not just evangelism, it's actually mission work as well. And so when the Lord started giving me a desire for missions, I started asking for the nations. The Bible says in Psalms, ask for the nations and he'll give them to you as an inheritance, right? So the doors are opening up all over the place. Brazil, Guatemala, Panama, Australia, Canada, Africa, amen, Mexico. So we're stepping into some of those now, and we'll step more into those next year. So it's pretty, pretty cool. So just pray for us, amen. But I am not really good at talking much more about myself, so we're just going to dive right into this word that the Lord put in my heart. And I don't want to be real long today because I know Matt's hungry, and I heard he gets hangry. So we want to make sure that this is cut short so that we can get to the food, amen. But anyways, I just want to pray again, if that's cool. So if you could just bow your heads and really commit your hearts to this. But Father, I just thank you for this amazing opportunity that I have to be with my friends and family. And Father, I just lift up this time to you. And Father, I just pray that you have your way. Devil, I rebuke you. You have no right to distract. You're not attractive. So you're not going to be distractive or destructive today in Jesus' name, or any day. I just prophesy that. And even though you may have tried to be destructive, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for bringing healing and bringing life to those areas that the enemy has tried to defile or has defiled. We pray you bring a purging, that you purify, you cleanse, that you heal. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, bless this word. Bless the ones that receive it. And please help me not to mess it up, but help me to release what you have for this place today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, today we celebrate the triumphal entry, like my buddy was saying, and I don't have a message that is Palm Sunday-ish. Amen. But I'm going to start out referencing it just for a moment. Amen. Because I really believe it lines up with what God prophesied to me to prophesy over you guys. And so I'm really just going to bring forth a prophetic teaching or a prophetic teaching. Amen. I don't have 3 points in a song and a hymn and all that good stuff and then a prayer. No, I'm just really just going to get down and just humble myself and serve you guys today by delivering this word that hopefully cleanses something in your soul and purifies your heart. Amen. I love this because God wants to make sure that we have a pretty wedding dress, right? So he wants to cleanse and to purify us here. Amen. So that Jesus can come back with a bride or for a bride that's got no spot or wrinkle. And Ephesians says the way he purifies us is the cleansing or the washing of the word. Amen. The word that is written, logos, and the rhema word that is spoken off of the logos, but also the prophetic word of the Lord. So I just pray that the word that the Lord has for you today today, has for this church, has for has for this church, has for the corporate body, but also has for you individually, personally. I pray that it will just purify something. Amen. That it will shift something. Amen. And it really bless your heart. But with this triumphal entry thing, and of course we find this in Matthew 21, 1 through 11, as well as other scriptural references, Jesus has this humble but yet triumphant entry. Amen. He's riding in like a king, but not like a king. In the Old Testament, right, in culture, they threw a big shindig for those that were being ushered into the throne. Amen. Those who were going to become king, right? You can see it in Solomon's life. I mean, the finest horses, right? They're throwing gold and money and babies in the air as the king that's about ready to take the throne. Amen. He's riding in, and there's babies being thrown in gold and fine horses. Jesus comes in on a colt, right? They lay coats, and the only thing that they wave in the air is palm branches. Amen. And they sing Hosanna. They give him a dear man, like that. They love him, right? And they're honoring him, and they're shouting out Hosanna, right? Hosanna. And it's amazing, and they're giving him praise, and they're adoring him. But yet, it was such a humble road compared to what they would do. Amen. For someone who is actually taking a physical kingdom over. Amen. And so Jesus has this triumphal entry, and a lot of times we look at this and we're like, man, this was a triumphal entry. This is beautiful. How many of you know that through the course of Jesus' life and through the course of his ministry, he had a lot of entries and he had a lot of exits? Amen. Because before you enter something, you have to exit something. Amen. So Jesus would enter into things and he would always exit things, right? So he had triumphal entries, but he also had triumphant exits. Okay? One of those is found when Jesus is led by the Spirit into, here's an entry, right? He's led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. But the Bible says after that was over, the angels came and ministered to him, and he walked out with what? Power. Amen? He was tempted, the Bible says, in all ways, right? So he entered temptation, right? This is in Hebrews. He was, in chapter 2, he was tempted in all ways, but without sin. Amen? So there was a temptation that came to Jesus. He entered temptation, but yet he didn't submit to temptation that produces sin. So he entered, but yet he exited triumphantly. Why are you saying this? Because Jesus is, like Jesus represents what we're called to, and when we're facing things that are not of the Father, Jesus shows us the Father values us. We understand the value that God has for us when we look at how God valued Jesus. And so Jesus may have entered battles with people or just himself, but yet the value of God was for him, not against him, and always brought him out of the battles that he faced. He entered the tomb dead, but he walked out alive. Come on, triumphant, right? Victorious. We celebrate that later. Why are you saying this? God would, watch this, he may have went into something, but God would always bring him victoriously out of something, and also God sustained him when he was in a battle. Why? Because God loved his son and valued his son, and we understand how God loves and values Jesus. It shows us how God loves and values us. So that means when we step into temptation, or we step into a wilderness situation, or we step into something, right, we're stepping into it already triumphant, already victorious, and we should have that expectation. I might be going into this situation, but I'm coming through this situation, and I will triumphantly exit this situation because God is on my side. So I just want to encourage some of you today. Jesus is our big brother. He's our example. He shows all of us the love and value of God for us and what God desires in our life. Jesus, Romans says he's the first among many, right? And you're the many, praise God. And Jesus went into many, many things already victorious. Why was he victorious? When he went into the wilderness, he was in the wilderness. How is he victorious? He got a word that revealed to him who he was, so he was armed with that word when he went into the situation. And when the enemy said, if you are the Son of God, he already knew he was the Son of God because God gave him the word. That's why it's so important to give
get into this thing called the Bible, to understand what God is saying to you and what he promises you. Amen? And he keeps his promises because he values his word above his name, but he also keeps his promises because he values you, the one who receives his promises with joy. And so Jesus goes into this thing equipped with the word, knowing that he is the Son of God and he didn't need to prove anything to the enemy. Isn't it awesome when you find yourself in a situation, isn't it cool when you can have confidence in who you are? You can have joy in who you are, and you know you don't have to prove anything to the enemy. God wants you to know who you are and be secure in who you are, so that when you go into a battle, you already know who you are, so you go into that thing already triumphant in your perspective, because you know whose you are, who you are, and what God promises you. So now you're in the midst of a battle, thinking triumphantly, right, before there's victory. But you have expectation for victory because God has promised you something, and you know he values you, and he values his word that he's promised you. So you have this confidence that you're going to come through. So Jesus has this triumphant entry here in Matthew. We celebrate it Palm Sunday. But throughout his life, he had a lot of entries and exits, and they were all triumphant. And I prophesy over you today, you may have entered into something, and you might feel defeated by something, but yet God promises you victory. He promised you victory before you even went into the circumstance. Just like God promised Jesus, this is who you are, before he went into the wilderness that tried to tempt him and try to make him question who he was. God equipped him with the word that gave him a victorious perspective even in the midst of the battle. That's why it says in James, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because the Bible also says you're not to walk by sight, but by faith. Faith in what? What God speaks over you. So God wants to get his people to a place where they repent, change the way they think, right? Think now the way God thinks. Think the way God spoke in your heart, so that when you're in a battle, you don't have this expectation in defeat. You know, doubt is actually having confidence that you'll be defeated when God promises you victory. So God actually wants you to have this confidence in the midst of the storm. This is who I am, and this is, I know whose I am, and I am confident that just like God valued Jesus, he values me and will bring me out just like he brought Jesus out. And I just wanted to step into this really quick, that because also God values you, if he brings you out, if he brings you through, that means something changes. And I just want to prophesy and speak a little bit on there's change in the air. Because how many of you know there's times where we find ourselves in predicaments that we would be very grateful if it would change. And I believe some of you today are in circumstances and situations that you hope change. Right? Watch this. God wants to change your perspective so that your eyes are on him. You have joy even in the midst of sorrow, because you're not caught up by what you see. Found security in what he spoke. Knowing that the things around you must change because God values you, he values his word above his name, and he wants to bring change. Because watch this, anything in your life that does not look like what God desires, God wants to change. And I prophesy over you that God wants to change your predicament. Have your hopes up, have confidence in him. God wants to change things in your life, and he wants you to have testimonies of triumphant exits and entries. Come on, somebody. Because he loves and values you, and he shows us that through Jesus. Jesus had many issues, right, that came against him, but he always went through them victorious to show us what we're called to when we put our trust in God the same way. Amen? And you might be entering an issue. But how many of you know, and I need to say this because it went over someone's head, and God's having me say it again, God wants you to go into situations with a victorious perspective. But then God also wants you to have a confidence in the midst of your circumstance that this is going to have a victorious ending, because God is on your side. And that's what I see here, not just triumphal entry, like, whoa, that was awesome. They threw palm branches and praised him, and yay, God. Can I tell you something? God's going to turn your situation around where you're going to lift up your highest praise to the Lord and thank him for bringing change in your life. And I love this. Let me just say this, and we're going to move on, because this isn't really the gist of my message, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God always prepares a way of escape for those who are being tempted. Do you know that word temptation means test as well? If you look up the word test in the Greek, it literally means that someone is attempting something against someone else just to see if it's possible. That's what a temptation, that's what a test is. The enemy throws something at you just to see if he can get you to break, just to see if it's possible to make you crumble, just to see if it's possible to get you to believe it. He's not even certain it will work. He's just testing it out to see. It's a prototype. Let's see if Ryan gets messed up by this. But if I have a victorious perspective and I know who I am and I know that God loves and values me, and I have this expectation that the weapons will form, but what the enemy forms will not prosper, then the enemy's attempts are failed. They're flawed and failed. They fail, right? So the thing that I just want to encourage you guys with as we move on here is that the enemy might be forming weapons against you, but God is for you and always will prepare a way of escape for you. That escape is you coming out victorious, not you running like a coward. Confronting what you need to confront, conquering it, and coming through victorious. And then it says in John 16:33, Jesus says, listen, you're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, but don't lose heart. I have already overcome the world. So God, through Christ, conquered what you're currently facing. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, conquering all, victorious above all, and the Bible says that you're a joint heir with him. That means you've inherited the victory that he paid for. Galatians says you're a joint heir with Christ, so you've literally, part of your inheritance is the victory that, like, from the battles Jesus fought for you before you were even born. You're called to victory. Come on, man. And so Jesus says, listen, you're going to have issues. But I've already overcome those issues to reveal to you the value that the Father has for you to overcome as well, so that you can triumphantly exit the things that you've entered into. Okay? And with moving on from this, because, like, there's so much I need to say, I need to keep on track, but the Father reveals to his sons, through his Son, say this and move on. Jesus went into many things, but not alone. And the Father reveals to us, you're not alone. And the Father reveals through his Son his power, so that sons and daughters can rise up in that power, in an expectation that that power is already theirs, but that they have this expectation that God's going to turn, like, things around for them. Amen? Let me say this. Talked about being a joint heir with Christ and victory is part of your inheritance. Why did I say that? Because watch, when Jesus had a humble but yet triumphant entry, I believe this resembles the entry we have through our acts of surrender and commitment to Christ when we became born again. Christ had a humble but yet triumphant entry. I believe we can have so much confidence in victory and know that victory is part of our inheritance because when we said yes to God, Christ brought us in and made us one with him in the Father. And just like Jesus had a triumphant entry, the day today we celebrate that, right? It was humble, but it was triumphant. I believe it resembles the entry we have through our acts of humble surrender, our born-again experience. We humbled ourselves, we gave our lives over to Jesus, and watch this, he brought us into relationship with God. Brought us into, see this? Now here's your big triumphant entry, right? It already happened when you became born again, and it's here, right here, right here. He brought us into relationship with God. He brought us into the kingdom. He brought us into his family. He brought us into the house. house as a son and a daughter, where we can ask and receive what's in the house. Jesus had a triumphant entry when he was able to step into your life, because you gave your life to him, and then he brought you to life. You're now one with him. He brought us, watch this, he brought us into an inheritance. Galatians 4 says, we are joint heirs with Christ. So guess what? You have been brought to and made one with an inheritance. That inheritance is the fullness of God. And Holy Spirit, who entered you as well when you said yes to the Father, wants to reveal to you who you are and what you have because of who you are, so that you can have a victorious perspective and not be moved by what you see. You can be secure and have joy because of what Holy Spirit revealed to you. And what he revealed to you is your inheritance that you receive when Christ brought you in triumphantly. You triumphantly entered into an inheritance because through Christ, in the strength of the Spirit and because of grace, you overcame sin. And now you have, watch this, victoriously entered into a family where God says you're a joint heir with Christ. So Christ paid a price, and all you have to do is believe in the inheritance. There was a debt against your inheritance. Christ removed the debt. Now you're joined with an inheritance, and you should have confidence and boldness to thirst for it, to ask for it, to see God demonstrated in you and around you like he did in and through Christ. So where when you enter a situation or a circumstance, you have this boldness, you have this confidence, that my God will supply my needs right here. My God shall bring me through, because he shows me through Christ my value. And just like he valued Christ and brought him through, he brought him through death, hell, and the grave. And the same Spirit that came into Christ to raise him because the Father loved his Son is now in you, Romans 8:11 says. Watch this. You received this. Why did Jesus have a humble, triumphant entry? Because really, the greatest entry was when he was able to enter into your heart. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll exalt you in due time. Jesus humbled himself so that you could be exalted and sit with the Father in heavenly places. This is why you should have a victorious mindset and perspective. No matter what it looks like, you're not moved by it. You're secure in what God did for you. And you have this expectation of your inheritance becoming a reality in the midst of the storm, where it changes your storm. Can I tell you something? Every bit of trouble that comes into your life should be an opportunity for your expectation to grow. Every time there's trouble that comes into your life, that's not when you question God. That's a time where you stand on what God has revealed to you. Like Jesus, you are the Son of God. Now he's in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God. He didn't question it. He knew he was. God wants to reveal to you who you are, so that when you're standing in something that he doesn't have for you, you have joy. You have a peace. You have an expectation that God is going to manifest things he already revealed to you and made you one with through your born-again experience. Happy, tell your face, because man, this is good news. Some of you are like, this is awesome. Well, let me just move on, because I don't want to stay here forever. But man, God wants you to enter into the reality of sonship. One day die and go to heaven. You were born for such a time as this, to overcome hell, but become all that heaven has for you. Become Jesus, like Jesus. Not Jesus, but become like Jesus. To show off the kingdom to this earth. Show off the Father. Show off Jesus through the life that you live. That's why you became born again. But let me just speak to the individuals here. God loves you. And there's things that come against you, and we sometimes question that love. Like, like, if God loves me, why didn't he prevent this? If God loves me, why did this happen? Jesus says, man, they came against me, they're going to come against you, but don't lose heart. God valued me, and I overcame to show you he values you. And God wants you to go into every situation and circumstance with this triumphant perspective. I'm going to triumph over this. I'm going to be victorious. And the reason I keep saying this is because you're not getting it. But the reason I keep saying this is because we need to have this sink into our heart and into our minds. Because a lot of us are going through things and we're questioning our inheritance. Are we even going to receive it? You already did. You were brought into it through salvation. Now you've got to have expectation that the inheritance of heaven, come on somebody, is going to be your salvation, your help, your deliverer. Why? Because God loves you and he desires all would be saved. Not just born again, but saved, healed, delivered, kept safe and sound. Your spirit was reconciled to and made one with the Spirit of heaven, the Spirit of God, the glory of God. Just because you're in a circumstance doesn't mean your spirit has changed location. That just means your finances or your mind or your heart or your body might be in a place that's opposite of where your spirit is, but that shouldn't get you down and you shouldn't feel condemned by your circumstance. Get excited that this is going to pass. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to grow. I'm going to see the manifestation of what God has promised unfold before my eyes. I'm going to have a testimony in the midst of this test. What does it look like to actually see ugliness and be in a place where we have an expectation for beauty because we know it? God promised it and we believe it. What does it look like to actually believe for great change to come in the midst of great challenge? Instead of living our life thinking, woe is me and woe, I'm going to stay here forever. The Bible says in Job, declare a thing and it will be established. Do you really want to live in the words that you're speaking when they're death? Partner with God. Because watch this, if Job says, declare a thing and established. Everything that God declares, he wants it to be established in your mind and in your heart, where you don't waver. And then you partner with God in the midst of something that's not God, and you command mountains to move. And you declare life, and you declare victory, and you declare change with an expectation, I declared it, and God's going to establish it. Declare what change is going to look like. I don't know what it looks like. That's why you've got to get in the Word. Why did Jesus quote Scripture in the midst of his wilderness? Because he had confidence in it. He knew it was God. He believed it. And he knew, declare a thing and it will be established. So when you're in the midst of your wilderness, yes, praise your way through. All that's good. But sometimes you just got to partner with God's Word and declare prophetically over your situation. This is going to pass and God's going to set up this. God's going to do this. God's going to move this. God's going to move. And God's going to establish this. Then you have to have the faith that when I partner with God and I declare a thing, it will be established. God spoke in Genesis, light be, and it was. So if God's made a promise, be expectant an establishment of that promise into reality, even though he wants to establish it in your heart and your mind first. But then when you partner with it and you trust it, you're actually believing that God will not only establish it in your heart and mind and give you this fantasy, actually make a dream come true. The promises of God are dreams that he promises will come true to those who believe. We've got to get it down in our heart. We've got to get it down in our minds. Amen? God brought, like he moved heaven and earth and got you, put you in position to be a recipient. And watch this. Your inheritance, you received it, but your inheritance is a promise of what you're like what you're about to see actually inherit the atmosphere and inherit the situation. The enemy, stop giving the enemy more credit than it's due, right? And stop thinking he's the one that has the power to make things real. There's a greater reality. It's called the supernatural. And even though you might see something that's not good, there should be an anticipation and expectation. atmosphere is about ready to be pregnant with the manifestation of what God has promised.
Come on, somebody.
Why are you saying all this? Because watch, there's things in our life that don't line up with what God has for our life. It's just reality. Come on, right? We need to understand us being reconciled to God's glory, being reconciled back to His fullness, isn't just a fantasy, isn't just the metaphor for something to make us feel good, and all, when I die and go to heaven, I'll step into His fullness. No, you inherited that already. And what God wants us to do is get us to a place where we're actually anticipating not just to see our inheritance come because we need to overcome something, but to see us step into our full glory, step into and become all that God has for us as well. And that's a different message for a different day, right? But the thing that the Lord has been showing me is He'll reveal to us what He desires so that we can be on the be on the lookout for what He doesn't. So that when we see what He doesn't desire, we don't go, oh my gosh, whoa, I guess it's not His will to do that. My spirit's changed position. I'm no longer in the fullness of God. I'm outside looking at hell. He exposes the areas that don't match His fullness to show you where His fullness wants to, like, immerse and baptize. Like, He exposes where the fullness of God wants to come and baptize. Where the fullness of God wants to come and manifest itself. He doesn't reveal those areas in your life to mock you. He actually reveals those areas in your life, exposes those bad areas in your life, if you will, those places He doesn't desire, to actually get you excited that this is what is about ready to conform to what He does desire. Do you know Romans 8 says your greatest call in life is to conform to the image of Jesus? But I believe that's all of your assets as well. If there's any area in your life that is a stench in the nostrils of heaven, it's not God putting His punishment or judgment on you. He's actually exposing it so it hopefully becomes, yes, a stench in your own nostrils, not so that it fuels your condemnation, guilt, or fear, but actually it provokes something. It provokes your faith to say, I'm so confident in my inheritance. This does not look like the inheritance that's been revealed to me. And instead of feeling guilty and shameful, what did I do? Why is this in my life? You become thankful. God, thank you for exposing that area in my life. But then guess what He does? He provokes something in you to fall on your face and press in, travail, pray until something happens. Because you when you have the right perspective, you realize the thing He's exposed, the sickness or doubt or fear or insecurity or mistaken identity, depression, anxiety, whatever He exposes. Again, that's not a consequence to maybe something you've done. Yes, ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. He's faithful and just. There's a place of repentance and walking holy and walking righteous. Again, another message for a different day. But let me just encourage you with this. There is a place when you're in a circumstance or something's exposed in your life that you put up with for years. When those things are exposed, the enemy would love to jump on your shoulder and be like, man, if you were the Son of God, you wouldn't be going through that. But Jesus already said I would. And He's exposing to me that I'm in these areas of trial and tribulation, temptation, the enemy attempting to make me break. But I'm actually going to say, okay, your plans have failed, because I'm going to believe in God's plans. And I'm going to believe in those plans, that those plans are going to prosper me. And instead of those areas in my life of weakness and say, oh my gosh, I'm falling short of His grace and I must not be in His fullness, like Ryan said, no, I'm a part of His fullness. Why does that area look like that? And you actually get excited, provoked, and have faith to pray and ask God to just change it. And you're militantly persistent until you see change come in that area that does not look like what God desires. We need to stop just incubating things and letting things be in our fear. We need to be provoked in our faith and pray and push those things out of our life, thanking God for what He's brought into our lives through our inheritance. And if there's an area that doesn't look like our inheritance, guess what you do? You get militantly angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, and anything outside of faith is sin. So instead of getting angry and feeling guilty and condemned and it fuels doubt and unbelief, why don't you actually allow it to provoke your faith? So where you're angry and you don't fall into sin because of doubt and unbelief, but you actually stand in faith, angry in faith. I just don't sound scriptural. Can I tell you something? Be angry and sin not. Anything outside of faith is sin. Can I tell you something? I want to stand in a place of faith, but yet so angry at the enemy and say, this is wrong. It's so wrong that this is going on. Devil, you might have thrown this at me with an attempt to make me doubt myself. But just like Jesus, this is going to fail because I choose to believe my inheritance. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I am going to have faith in the unseen. I'm going to press until it becomes seen. I'm going to press until I see change. I'm going to press until I see God alter the area that I've been having altercation. I'm going to enter into the wilderness just like Jesus entered the wilderness, having an expectation of triumph, because God is for me, not against me. Let's keep moving on. Because I don't want to hold you much longer. I promise. Jeremiah 18. I'm going to actually read scriptures here in just a second, but I just need to move on. Jeremiah 18 talks about God giving Jeremiah a word by giving him an illustration first. Go down to the potter's house. He goes down to the potter's house. Potter means shaper. So he goes to the shaper's house. He goes in and he sees a pot being formed on the wheel, and he sees this actual potter, shaper, doing something on the wheel that didn't, like, it was molded, and he didn't like what it looked like. So he smashes it, right? And he destroys it and then reconstructs it. And God says, this is what I want to do in the house of Israel. Can I tell you something? Now, I understand there's a place of repentance, so destruction didn't come. I know the history of Jeremiah 18. But can I just give you an encouragement here? There's areas in your life that are flawed. There's areas in your life that do not applaud God. There's areas in your life that Jesus didn't die for. There's areas in your life that don't look like the Father. God's exposing them not to mock you, but to provoke you. So that you can say, this isn't right. But what I believe is happening in this area, specifically this church, and specifically in the individuals who are here this morning, I see God saying, you know what, this is what I want to do in their lives. Not bring destruction to you, amen, but actually to bring construction by destroying, purging you, purifying you, refining you of every area the enemy's been defiling you. Because the enemy is the culprit of the things that are being thrown at you. And the enemy's trying to get you to blame God and make you overlook your inheritance. But God wants to make you aware of it so that you actually stand and partner with it and believe in it. Until it manifests itself, because God spoke it, and it's impossible for something not to manifest itself once God speaks. But God says, this, like I was driving here, and he said, Ryan, that's what I want to do to this house. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want to do with these people. Not destroy them, but destroy what's destroying them. Yeah, Jesus went to the cross to destroy all, but how many of you know the enemy still throws things at you? And there's things being thrown at this place, and I really believe that God says he wants to purge, purify that, and he wants to cleanse this place of all defilement. And he says there's areas that of weakness. There's areas that don't look like what he applauds, but don't get down. Your inheritance should encourage you that change is coming. That change is coming. Just pat your neighbor on the back and say, change is coming. A representation of this, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me real quick to 2 Chronicles as I wind down. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Come on, somebody. Chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And there's a few places here that I just want us to look at. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, an amazing chapter. I love this book. But Jehoshaphat and the people are in a place of distress. Place where they know a battle's coming. Jehoshaphat just had a near-death experience. He fasted and prayed and came out probably feeling amazing. And then his men come and tell him, okay, here's an area that you might need to pay attention to. What was that area? the enemy of Israel basically was coming against them, Jerusalem and Judah. And he said, there's places, man, where your enemies are coming, they're joining forces and they're coming after you, they want to kill you, and they want to take the women, they want to take the children, they want to take the money, and they want to kill the men. Jehoshaphat freaks out, right? He calls people together, he calls a corporate fast, and in the midst of this, if you can just bear with me, this is what the Lord was showing me. He said, Ryan, he says, this is an area that I did not like. This was an area in my life that I did not like. Just like the clay was marred in the hands of the potter, and I brought it down to build it back up. He says, Ryan, he says, the enemy came against my people here, and I did not like it. There was a flaw. It was marred. And you know what God does? He brings a holy smackdown on the enemies of Jehoshaphat in the chapter. It's amazing what God does. But in the midst of this chaos, Jehoshaphat is freaking out. He's praying. And the word of the Lord came to Jehoshaphat through a mighty man of valor, through a prophet. And it's in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon, and I hope I can say this right, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of a big name, a son of the Levite of the sons of Zasoph, in the midst of the assembly. And this is what the word of the Lord through him said. And he said, listen, all of you Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. In verse 16, tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up. They'll come up by the access of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in the battle. God was actually equipping them right here with the sword, and it was the word of the Lord. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Can I just stop here? Doesn't that sound like what Jesus said centuries later? Listen, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, but don't lose heart. I have overcome the world. The word of the Lord comes to this mighty man of valor in the midst of a mighty soul fight before there's a physical fight to encourage Jehoshaphat. Listen, don't sweat it. You're going to be okay. The word of the Lord comes to his people to say, listen, this is your inheritance. This is the power backing you up. The battle doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. And God is stirring you and revealing to you who you are so that when you face this battle, you're no longer fighting with it with the perspective of being defeated, perspective of being alone. He actually reveals to you, you're not alone. I'm with you. And I'm fighting this for you. I've already fought it through Christ, and Christ came out victorious. And you are too. Same value I had for him is the same value I have for you. But how many of you know that King Jehoshaphat was in a marred situation? They didn't like it, God didn't like it, and the strong hand of the Lord in verses later come against the enemies of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat. The Bible says he set an ambush against these people. Some people believe it was an angelic host. Come on, somebody. God sets up these things against the enemy and brings them down. And all Jehoshaphat and the people had to do was stand there with the reality, the perspective that God gave them a day before. And because of that, they just gave God praise. They just gave God praise in the midst of their situation. They didn't have to draw a sword. They just drew a praise. Because they had a word. And that word that they believed in became a sword that conquered the enemy. Can I tell you something? When you partner with the Word and you believe in the Word, it becomes a strong hand of the Lord against your enemies in your mind first. And then when you put your faith in the Word of the Lord, it becomes a strong hand that you see God release and do miraculous things around you. These signs follow them that believe. There's more miracles that will happen in your valley than on the mountain. And I just prophesy that you're about ready to see crazy miracles in your valleys. I'm slowing down here just to finish because I don't want to hold you. But let me just encourage you guys. Be equipped with the word of the Lord by being aware of who you are in the Lord, to where it's going to conquer mental giants in you, where you have a triumphant perspective within you despite what's going on. Can I tell you something? Faith isn't about your feelings. Faith is actually standing in the midst of those bad, horrible, crazy, stretching circumstances and saying, God, I just ridiculously trust you. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust you. And watch this. With Jehoshaphat, there was a marred situation. God brought destruction, but brought construction to Jehoshaphat. Brought victory to them that day. What if they would have ran and not trusted the word of the Lord? They wouldn't have seen that thing happen and they would still be running from their enemies. You're not called to run from your enemies, you're called to confront them. Knowing that you're not fighting it, God is, but you're just trusting that He is. And just like God created a victorious path, they escaped that bullet, they escaped that destruction, they escaped that issue. What did we just say earlier? God prepares a way for those who are being tempted. But not that you come out running through the fear of your life, but you actually come out confident and victorious. That the door of victory is open, not the door of fear. Hey, run. To where just like Jesus had triumphant exits and entries, you too can. In this thing right now, but yeah, I'm really not in this because the Bible says I'm in Christ. And the same Spirit that was in Christ dwells in me. I'm in Christ. The Spirit's in me, and it's empowering me to come through this thing victorious, and I'm going to have triumphant exits as much as I'm going to have triumphant entries. Because triumphant exits, what do you mean by that? Stepping out of the proper. Stepping into the possession of your promise, physically, spiritually speaking, where you can actually steward the promise. This one prophesied to you guys that when you realize who you are, you expect change to come. Because watch, when God exposes areas in your life that do not match His desire, you expect problems that you think you can make it through. Change must come because you're God's. And if there's any area in your life that doesn't conform to His love, His delight, His desire, God says, I want to conform this area in your life to where it matches my desire, where it meets my desires, changed by my desire. God wants to reveal to you guys the things that He has for you so that in the midst of what's coming against you, you realize what's working for you. You realize what God has for you. You have this holy expectation of good things to come. I just want to prophesy over you that the trouble you're in, get excited because God says those are areas you're going to have triumph in. You're going to have victory in. Let me just prophesy this over to you. Like when God brings you on a journey and reveals to you through the Spirit His promises and His inheritance for you and His kingdom. When Holy Spirit reveals that stuff to you and then brings you kind of back to reality, that actually becomes your reality, what God's revealed. And sometimes I feel like what happens is we beat ourselves up or we get freaked out because we've been on a journey with God. God has revealed His promise to us, like with Jehoshaphat. We don't see anything happen yet, or the things that are happening are contrary to the Word of God. Why do we automatically think God missed it, or that's not the word of the Lord, or the word of the Lord's changed? Why don't we have an expectation that the things that are contrary to the word of God are going to change because the Lord has spoken? And I love this. God will bring you on a journey with the Spirit through intimacy and reveal to you His mysteries, to reveal to you His heart. And then that becomes your reality. And then you see the things around you that are contrary, but you don't get messed up by those things. You stand in great faith. God, I'm so excited to see what you revealed to me in the Spirit. I'm so excited through supernatural circumstances. I'm so excited to see those things you just showed me disrupt what's contrary right now. So excited to see what you're going to do. I was just in Virginia traveling and preaching. And we went down to Virginia. When we left PA, it was all weird here, right? Like, there's just a lot of barren trees, no flowers, cold, had a sweatshirt on. I get to Virginia, it was like a whole new world. I left my place and went to another place, and it looked completely different. But can I tell you something? I drove back to Pennsylvania super excited, because I knew from the south there was a change coming to the north. God said, Jehoshaphat, you're in a really bad situation, but through this word, through this man, I'm going to bring a reality out to you that you need to stand on. That this is what's coming. And it's going to change things. It's going to heal things. It's going to bring you victory. Can I tell you something? God wants you to go on a journey with Him in the Spirit. Intimacy, where He reveals to you His mysteries, where He reveals to you His heart, so that when you're back in the north, you can say, man, there's some cool things coming from heaven. There's some change coming. There's some shift coming. Can I tell you something? Now I'm starting to see up here what I saw down there. Can I tell you something? God wants to bring you on this journey where He reveals His heart to you through the Spirit, so that you understand and have an expectation of what's to come. Just like when I went to Virginia and realized what's to come, Pennsylvania, and it's starting to come, praise God. God wants to take you on this journey through intimacy and reveal to you what you should expect to come. Because it's your inheritance. He brought you into it. If there's anything around you that is contrary, or in you that is contrary, have hope. God's going to conform this to His inheritance for you. He's going to conform this, transform it, change it, bring breakthrough. So I just prophesy over you today that change is coming. God didn't reveal to you His word to show you how you're out of it or disqualified from it. He's showing you this is who you are. This is what you're called to. I'm bringing to you Virginia, so to speak, to show you beauty and to show you life and to show you victory. Come on, somebody. So that while you're still in Pennsylvania, I'm just using this as a metaphor, you have a hope and an expectation that what's in the south is coming to the north. What's in heaven. He takes me on that journey, shows me what's in heaven. And now I have hope here on earth. This is what's going to come through for me. God's going to bring change. I'm triumphantly exiting this situation and triumphantly entering into the possession of the promise. So stand with me all over the church. Come on. Jesus. Put your hands on your heart if you could. We're going to open up the altars here in just a minute, I guess. I think that's what we're going to do. I'll ask Matt for permission, but got a thumbs up. But anyways, I just want to just pray for you guys and see where God goes. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for complete transformation and change in these people's lives. Father, I know I have authority. We all have authority, but I know I have authority that as I pray, you partner with this. If it's according to your word, according to your will, Father, you move. You give me permission to say things like this. You gave us permission to release things. And so I just release the transforming agents of heaven that need to come. And I pray for a transfiguration and a transformation to come, that even though these people may have entered into a battle, I thank you, God, they're going to come out triumphant. They're going to come out triumphant because you value. And Father, I just pray right now for change. I pray for supernatural change. Why are we holding our hearts? God, whatever is near to their heart, whatever is close to their heart, whatever they have a passion for, a love for, Father, that might be troubled right now. God, I pray that we would pick up the understanding of your heart. That we would understand and realize your love. That we would understand, Father, that this is that we're close to your heart. And if we're troubled, if we have a marred situation, like in Jeremiah 18, you're going to bring destruction, a reconstruction, a transformation to that thing, that clay area in our life, just like we see in Jeremiah 18, just like we saw in 2 Chronicles 20. There was a marred situation, but in your hands you turned it around and brought a blessing for Judah and Jerusalem. Father, I pray right now the things that maybe we've carried in our own hands, we lift up to you. And Father, we pray that you would reveal your heart to us to where it would give us a trust and a peace to give these things to you, knowing you love us and you want to take care of these things well for us. And Father, I just pray that you would change and transform situations in this room, change and transform people's hearts, people's minds, people's finances, Lord. Because, Father, if it's outside of your inheritance, that doesn't mean that area is disqualified from your inheritance for us, your glory, your fullness. It just means it's outside and it needs to come in. Father, thank you for revealing to us our inheritance. And thank you for giving us a hope that this is the good stuff that's coming to those who believe, those who hunger, those who thirst. These are the things that come to those that you love, and there's no one that you don't love, so these things are for everyone. So, Father, I pray that we would realize what's in Virginia is coming to Pennsylvania, so to speak. That even though we left Pennsylvania, maybe we're in situations in Pennsylvania, metaphor here, guys, we're in a situation, in a circumstance that doesn't look like heaven. Doesn't look like right now we're on this journey with heaven, but everything around us is the same, man. The things around me don't look like what I'm seeing in intimacy. Can I tell you something? God has given you a snapshot of what you should expect. Just like he did for Jehoshaphat, to bring change and transformation. So God, I pray that we would partner with your word, reveal your word to us. Let us find more confidence in our inheritance like never before. Let us acknowledge our inheritance. Let us acknowledge what we've been reconciled to. Let us acknowledge, Holy Spirit, what is ours. And let us have faith that Pennsylvania, so to speak, is going to look like Virginia. That the earth is going to look like heaven. That our circumstance is going to change because it doesn't look like heaven. But I'm believing for heaven to come, and it's going to come, and it's going to change and transform my situation. I prophesy over this church right now that just like Jesus transformed before his disciples' eyes, God says, keep praying. Don't give up. It's not that you're not praying good enough. Just keep fighting this fight of faith. And God says, just believe it's impossible for God's promise not to happen. Believe it's impossible for God's promise not to happen. Believe that impossible. And believe it's possible, and you know it's going to happen. Believe his promises will come. And I just prophesy that you're going to see transformation and change unfold before your eyes. Things that are held up, things that are in a battle, things that are in a circumstance, a war, a trial, a tribulation. I just prophesy over this house that change is coming. Change is coming. Because God says it's not okay that these areas are happening the way they are, like going down the way they are. It's not okay. But my hand of power, my hand of love, my hand of comfort, my hand of provision is released. It's on the earth. It's for you, not against you. And God says, I will never pull away from you what I've promised you, but I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to manifest it. He told me to tell you Isaiah 55:11. He says, my word will not return void. That word void means without effect. That means God's word will not come back to him without effect. It's assignment. It's targeted assignment. God says you're the target for his word. You're a target for his delight. You're a target for his love. You're a target for his kingdom. And God says it will, that word, that promise, that power sent with it will not return void. It's going to affect the areas in your life that it's targeted because you're his delight and you're his desire. So Father, I pray right now for an absolute glory bomb. The fullness of you, God, just to crash in to my brothers and sisters and bring change and bring restoration and bring healing. We were singing it earlier, resurrection, resurrection. Father, I pray right now for people to resurrect from the rubble, to resurrect out of the tomb, to resurrect out of their circumstance. That's their inheritance. And may they step into the fullness of what Jesus paid for. God, I pray that they would have a triumphant exit. Triumphant entries, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
this is what I want really quick. This affected you in one way or another. Don't worry about the food. It will be there after you get prayer. But if you're here and maybe there's a sickness in your body, I just want to pray for change. I know I prayed corporately, but I want to pray with you for change. But if you need change in your body, physical body, maybe it's in your mind. Like I saw like God wanting to tear down mind restraints right now. Areas of struggle in your mind, if it's anxiety, depression, insecurity, wrong thinking, God wants to tear that down and bring change. But what are areas in your life that might be marred right now? And you're like, God, I need you to break these things down, and I need you to bring victory. I need to see you bring change. I need you to turn and mold this thing. How many of you know that Jehoshaphat's situation changed and yours can as well? So if you're here and you're like, man, I need some form of change in my physical body, within my spirit, within my mind, within my heart, I feel like there's someone right here, right now, quick, word of knowledge, that is battling with, you've been battling with a report that you just got. I don't know if it was a doctor's report, a financial report, but it was like you got a phone call this past week and you came in battling in your mind, like, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? How are we going to find ourselves through this, get ourselves through this one? How are we going to find victory in this one? Like, how are we going to exit this situation victoriously? Like, God, how, this is a weight, and it's almost like you're so fearful. You're ate up with fear because of some type of report. Maybe it wasn't a doctor's report, a financial report. Maybe it was from your spouse. Maybe it was from your family. Someone's going through something themselves. They've got the report, but it's been really struggling. You've been really struggling with it, distracted by it, overwhelmed maybe by fear of it. I just want you to raise your hand right now. Some type of report. I know it's someone in this room. Someone just recently got a report that's freaking you out. Yeah? Can we just stretch our hands towards this man real quick? Father, I just pray right now. God, I thank you. We don't need to know, so to speak, what it is. But Father, we thank you for who you are and whose he is, Lord. He's yours. And so, Father, I pray right now for transformation in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for a breaking down, a crushing of that thing that's been trying to break him. And Father, whatever that report is, Father, I just pray you erase that thing. Whatever that news was, whatever that conversation was, God, that's not good. I just pray that you would just erase it right now in the name of Jesus. I saw literally what you thought was written in a Sharpie was actually written in a dry erase marker. And I saw the hand of God's grace just wipe it off and made you completely clean and free from it. So, Father, I thank you, right, and your family free from it. So, Father, I pray you would wipe out, that you would remove, that you would cleanse, that you would purify, that you would refine these areas. And even though the enemy, even though he may have fought, that this was permanent, even though the enemy wanted him to think it was permanent, God, I thank you it's temporary. And Father, I just prophesy an ending to the trial. I prophesy a shift right now in the name of Jesus. I prophesy life. I prophesy blessing. I prophesy victory right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for restoration right now. Man of God, I just heard the Lord say the enemy is trying to distract you with a whole bunch of stuff that you feel like you need to overcome. And I felt like the Lord says that what takes several years for some people to overcome, the hand of the Lord is, who doesn't have the hand of the Lord on them, it takes them several years. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And just like Elijah outran the chariots because the hand of the Lord was upon him, the Lord says what would take people a hard time to keep up, God says, my hand is upon you. You're going to outrun and you're going to be victorious and you're going to overcome these things with like an acceleration. Come on, somebody. So, Father, I thank you, God, right now in the name of Jesus for that. I pray, God, right now for just acceleration, that what he thought would take months or years would take days and weeks in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now that he would just, I saw these tethers behind you, and the Lord is just snapping those tethers that are behind you, trying to pull you back, lure you back, overwhelm you. Look at what you've done. Every voice that has been speaking in your head, that is wrong. That's just telling you about your past and how you can't pursue certain things because remember what you did. God says to hell with that hellish past. Hell can have the past, but hell cannot have your future. And I just see God cutting and destroying things that if still like stick to your back,
It's things from behind you, things that have been holding you back. God is snapping those things right now. Do not have fear of history repeating itself. The Lord says where you had failure in the past, it believe for success in your future. The places where you missed the mark and you had moments of weakness in the past, man, just believe God's making them strong. Just believe that you're not going to fall short. God says your future can look completely different than your past if you just keep your hand in His hand. So, Father, I pray right now. God says He's bringing a renewal. He's bringing a refreshment. I feel like God's bringing some transformation in your life and making old things new. And I just heard the Lord say this is a season that He's remodeling and renovating and blessing you in certain areas and renovating certain things and remodeling certain things. It's almost like a woman or a man who sits in a house and says, man, I can't stand what this looks like now. I want to change the paint color. I feel like God says the areas where you can't change it, you can't stand it, I'm sorry. The hand of the Lord is bringing change. And I feel like the stuff that you've laid before the Lord, that you're like, God, I need this to change. I need this to change. I felt like the Lord says that He's bringing a supernatural change through those things because you've laid them before Him. You put your hope in Him. And I feel like God is going to be turning things around. I feel like God says two more things. First of all, the tide is about ready to change. The tide is about ready to change. And I saw a wind dial and I saw the winds of change come. And I said, God, what is that? And He said, Ryan, He says, there's areas where He's seen little to no change. He's about ready to see change. He hasn't stopped praying. He kept on seeking me, and you're like, God, I just want to see this shift. I want to be loose of this. I want this to be broken. I want this to change. I need this phone call. I need this paper to go through. I need this to happen. I need that to happen. And I feel like God says the areas where nothing's been happening, you're about ready to see the tides shift, and you're about ready to see the winds bring a complete turnaround, a complete shift, a complete change in your life. So, Father, I bless that in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy that over all of you, change, a shift, changing of current, a changing of direction, a turn around, a change. I can't get away from that. Why does God bring change? He values you, and He wants to conform every area in your life that's not of Him. He wants to conform it to who He is and what He desires. And the byproduct of that is change. When He brings and conforms something to His image in your life, the areas that don't bear His image, when He conforms them to His image, the byproduct of that is change. And I just prophesy change right now. And real quick, I saw this couple in worship. I was actually right behind them. Their boy is a beautiful boy. Couldn't get that out, boy. But I just heard the Lord say, whoa. He's training and He's equipping and He's actually training you in a field. Like right now, I saw you in a field, both of you, playing with all these utensils and learning from some type of superior person. And they're like, do this with this. And you're like, you were maturing your act. You were maturing this craft, this thing. Like it was like a way of you stewarding what's been given to you from the Lord. It's like you're growing in it. Trained in it. You're perfecting it. God says you're in a place of being hidden right now, being trained and being equipped, being harnessed, being matured. But the Lord says, do not lose heart. I saw a gun being fired and I said, what in the world, God? And He says, I'm about ready to pull the trigger on this thing. It's almost like whenever, it's almost like this thing even is in training right now. This thing that's in your hearts is, you've been pressing in, you've been praying, and maybe you've acted in it a little bit, but just like April 1st of last year was my debut, so to speak, and I don't mean that as a shell, but was my debut, is my time to step out. God may have been forming and fashioning things and maturing things for a few years, but then the Lord said, okay, this is your release date. This is your due time. I felt like the Lord says that you've been like almost like two like bucking bulls behind like this, like I see this like this door metal thing. And it's like I hear a pop, and I just saw like you literally coming out of the gate and running. And I said, Lord, what is this? And He says, Ryan, He says, there's things that are being worked in them, things being worked out of them, things that they're growing in, they're learning and growing in. But I felt like the Lord says the debut and the release is soon. to not lose heart, to not give up, to just keep pressing in. It could be for your family. It could be for ministry, which your family is your ministry. It could be, I don't know what it is, but it's like I see God working things in you. And let God have his time with you. Let those things crock pot. Let those things, let God work those things out. And I felt like the Lord says it's like you have a wild stallion and then you have like a tame horse that's harnessed. The horse that is harnessed and took the time to be, once was a wild stallion himself but was harnessed, he's the one that will carry the king's chariot. You don't want a wild stallion doing that, you know? And I feel like God says he's calming to some things, but even making certain things wild in you, stirring confidence in you, building things in you. But I heard the Lord say for both of you that he will be released. Like, you're released to do certain things, but you're going to be even released to do greater things in this season to come. And I feel like God says there's even things that have been holding you back, and you're like, well, maybe that's a sign we're supposed to wait on certain things. I believe God wanted you to, he pulled the trigger a long time ago. But I felt like the Lord says that these things have a grip on you. And like if it's fear, insecurity, lack of resources, God is breaking those things right now in Jesus' name. So Father, break those things right now in Jesus' name. But God says he's grooming you. He's preparing you. Not that you guys were these crazy imperfect people. It's like, I believe what you're called to is so big that you had to get so small, so to speak. You had to get so low to allow God to perfect things in you and strengthen things in you. Because God says, I won't send kittens out amongst wolves. I'll send lions and lionesses. And that's what God's preparing in you. And the last thing that I heard just really quick is, whoa, God's going to grow your assets. God's going to grow your assets, not just because you got a baby, I guess, in your belly. I hope I got that right. I'm not pregnant. You could have really messed with me. I'm not pregnant. What are you talking about? But I feel like besides that, like God is growing your assets. Man of God, I felt like the Lord says don't stress. He breaks that stress off of you. And I feel like there's even shame that you've carried for some reason. God's breaking that off. And when I say shame, of anything. If I put our family in this, or I can't believe we're not there yet. I can't. God breaks that shame off of you. There's an entrepreneur spirit on you, man. I see it in your heart. And I felt like the Lord says that you may have stories of businesses failing, but you're going to have many stories of many businesses succeeding. But God says you're being groomed right now. And I literally saw you guys in like you, sir, in a suit, and you, ma'am, like in a woman's suit thing. And going to business meetings, but then I saw you just like laid back, chill, but you were at the same meeting. And I said, what in the world? And God says, you're going to influence people of that stature, the suits and stuff, but they're so uptight. God says, like, he's relaxing you guys. He's chilling you guys. And like, you're going to bring a rest. You're going to bring a peace to a high level areas, like high level areas where they experience high levels of stress. That's why God's grooming you. He's preparing you. He's getting you ready so that you can handle that. And I just felt like the Lord says you're going to do greater things than what you dreamt up. But God says, let's start with your dream, and then I'll exceed it and give you an appetite for more. And I believe part of that's happening too. I feel like God says there's been some things thrown at you, but I felt like God says the things that have been thrown at you and the destruction it caused, God's healing, God's restoring, but beauty that's coming, the health that's coming, the financial prosperity that's coming, the things that are coming, you're not going to just get back what was lost or fix what's been broken. God says, I'm going to bring you into something far greater than what you've played with before, what you've experienced before. Yeah, I'll restore some of the things that were broken, but don't ask me to do just more of what I've done. Just ask me to bring you into the more, and upon that request, I'll bring you into more. I'll bring you into new facets. I'll bring you into new places. This is a season you're about ready to see God bring. Like, I saw you both, like, chug, like, a big old thing of water. And I said, God, what is that? He says, I'm refreshing. I feel like you've worked really hard, and God just wants you to enter his rest. And you're going to start seeing things that you've been spending a long time on,
rest and you just trust God and you find rest in that, you're going to start seeing things happen at an accelerated rate. And they're going to prosper beyond what you could physically do with your hands. But I believe that God says you put your hands on things that were His. And that's good. You partnered with Him. And God's going to prosper. He's going to move in those areas. It's almost like I see both of you touching things and they turn to gold. And I say, God, that's pretty darn awesome. I know that's a story, kids book thing, but what is that? And he said, Ryan, he says, tell them everything they've put their hands on in partnership with me, I put my hands on it first. And I'm bringing prosperity and bringing gold. And that's like why I saw even like you guys being refined right now and trained and equipped. Because some of this is just about Christianity. It's just about your sonship and you being a daughter. It's like God's grooming some things, refining some things. And do not look behind you and say, wow, I can't believe I was there. God says, He strips you of that shame. Be excited and say, God, I thank you. I have this revelation now, and I get to go into my future with it. So, Father, I bless these two, and I thank you, God, for blessing them in every area that the enemy has thrown stuff and damaged or tried to damage. We thank you for a refinement. We thank you for healing and breakthrough. For some reason, God says, I'm going to pull the trigger soon on areas where He said, not yet. Going to pull the trigger. And some of, both of you almost have like this in your heart, like, should we be doing this? Like, is it time yet? Like, yeah, now? God says, like, He's going to even eliminate that confusion right now. Because God doesn't want you to be behind His when. He wants you to go. And I just feel like there's certain things God says, go, 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 go. And He's breaking off everything that's been keeping you back, holding you back. From the areas you know He's already said go. So Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. But guys, we're going to do this. If you guys need prayer of any sort, and see what happens up here, you just want to partner with this word and say, yeah, we want to see change in our life, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right now and come up forward. Come forward. If you need prayer for anything, healing in your body, a breakthrough in your mind, a breakthrough in your finances, let me just ask this, like, right there. Can I just speak a word over you guys really quick? Is that okay? And I'm not trying to stall because no one's coming up. Y'all need to let me know your secret on how you don't need anything changed. But anyways, no, I'm gonna say. But you two, I don't know you guys, you know that, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you divine connections and divine appointments. And I just kept, like, I babbled with them. I was like, okay, divine connections and divine appointments. And the Lord, I felt like God says He always wants to set His kids up for success. And I feel like there's things that you've been really laying out before Him and saying, Father, we need this. You know, Father, we want this. Father, we desire this. We're going after this. And if you haven't been doing that, do that. God, we're imploring, Lord, we're going after this. We're not going to religiously travail, but we're going to militantly travail out of expectation. And I feel like you have done that in one way or another. You've taken God at His word in some area. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to, Jesus, come. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you that He loves to see His kids successful. And I believe God's going to give you like, there's divine connections coming. And there's divine, like, even doors opening up, divine opportunities that you're going to have a collision with. And I feel like it's going to change things. It's going to shift things. Like, it's almost like for me, if I was a businessman and I was really asking God, bless me this particular area of my life, this business, Lord, He gives me the right person or the right resource or the right door, and it just changes everything for my business. That was God at work, right? And I'm not saying it's business, but I feel like there's certain things you've laid before the Lord, and I feel like God says, don't give up. Don't feel like you've missed it. Don't feel like it's not His will to move. I almost feel like God says there is certain things you need to get back to praying about. Because it's almost like you prayed and it's like, ah. And I feel like God's going to, like, remind you of some things that you forgot. And the reason you forgot about them is because you gave up hope in them. God's going to remind you of those things. There's this fresh fire of hope that's coming upon you for those things. But the areas you still have hope, God says, and you press in and you seek Him. God says He's going to give you divine appointments and He's going to give you divine connections. And it's from the Father. And first of all, you're divinely connected with God, and that changes everything. I just see God bringing the right people, the right things, the right doors are coming open, like they're opening, they're opening for you to step in. And it's God just loving on you. It's just God blessing you. I believe God's going to position you with amazing opportunities to succeed and to go forward. For me and Kirsty, like, we wanted a newer vehicle. Our one was getting old. It was really expensive to upkeep. And God gave us a series of connections and divine appointments where we were able to come right into alignment with the perfect car. God's hand was all over it. You know, some finances came in, and some things were done, and we got with the right people. The right vehicle came, and it was all the hands of the Lord. We were really, that was one area we were praying for. God just moved. We're not materialistic, but we need this. And I feel like God says, you're not about materialistic things, but there's certain things you've been praying for. And there's even things you've given up. Just get back to that place of prayer and lay it before God. And I believe that you're going to see divine opportunities, divine connections, doors opening, because the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you're going to see some things set up where you're going to be so successful, so blessed by the abundance of heaven. It's going to rock your mind. The Lord wanted me to tell you this really quick. God says you're stepping into a season as you continue to pray. You're stepping into a season of shock and awe. Shock and awe. So, Father, I just bless these two, and I just pray, God, that you would move in their lives crazy. And, God, I pray they would step into shock and awe. Shock and awe. That they would just be shocked at what happens and be in awe. But I felt that God just wanted me to encourage you. He's bringing the right connections. He's bringing the divine opportunities to set everything that you've been praying for up for success. And he's immersing those things in your life with his abundance. So get ready. You're about ready to see a transformation take place before your eyes, just like Jesus transformed before his disciples' eyes. And you're entering into a season of being in shock and in awe, but it's going to be you as the recipient of his abundance, and you're going to be in shock and awe. Come on, somebody. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I bless you, God, and I thank you, and I love you, and I honor you for who you are. If you guys need prayer, we're going to be here to pray with you guys. I'm going to drop this mic, but thanks for letting me to share. I'm going to give it back to this awesome bearded man. Oh, let's bless the food. Amen? Come on. Father, we just pray that you bless this amazing food. And anything that has bad carbs or calories, Lord, we just pray when we receive it that it becomes nutrients, Lord, and broccoli and just good for us. But let it still taste like garlic bread. But Father, we just pray you bless this food, bless this house, and we thank you for the change coming, God, in Jesus' name.